This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag, everybody. It's Saturday, 18th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushin Hantharaja.
Let's go. Welcome to our second ever Football Ramble Mailbag, everybody. Thank you for all the kind words after the first edition 2 weeks ago, and to everyone who's got in touch since. A reminder that if you want to get involved on the mailbag, you can tweet us on X at Football Ramble, message us on Instagram at Football Ramble, and of course you can email us show@footballramble.com. It's the mailbag, gentlemen.
It's the mailbag.
Jim, it's your first time
on
the mailbag. How does it feel?
Great. It feels like Saturday morning TV.
Yeah, like, it feels like Sunday school.
First time you and I have done a Saturday ramble, which is mad, outside of tournaments, so not at all.
But yeah, I'm on a still. Come down after watching the Crystal Maze all last night. And Friends.
Yeah, glad you said Maze after Crystal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Imagine being on that in the Crystal Maze.
Oh, that is a crossover that we desperately need.
I've got to hoover all the sand up in the Aztec zone.
That is, you know, that is Trump's America 2. All of the laws get cut to ribbons. You can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, to the first email, Peter.
From Ray, writing as a concerned England fan, It's no secret that international football is getting less glamorous these days, and my children definitely seem less interested in it than I remember being at their age through the 90s. Do you guys agree? And could this start impacting major tournaments themselves? How does football fix this slide?
More Saudi money. That's how we fix it.
More Saudi money.
Always, yeah. More is always the answer, isn't it?
Well, that is what FIFA think.
This is the issue, isn't it?
Totally.
This is why this is this perception is certainly happening. I have to be honest, I don't know any children who are the age that I was through the 90s.
So I don't know any children!
Yeah.
However hard I look!
So back to Brian Adams, aren't we?
Yeah.
Moving on from that as quickly as possible. I have to take Ray's word for it that this is a thing that's happening amongst the generation. But I think part of it is an accessibility issue, isn't it? And that there's so much of it. In the 90s, when a World Cup was coming up or a European tournament was coming up, this was really the best chance you had to see some of the best players in the world. If Cristiano Ronaldo had been around at the time and playing for Real Madrid, we wouldn't have had access to every single goal that he had, really, in the 90s. I mean, obviously, there was Revista de la Liga in the noughties. I'm not sure exactly when that show started on Sky, but
you still got to pay for Sky.
Well, exactly. Not everybody does. Exactly. Certainly in the 90s, far fewer people had it. So kids now can do a deep dive on a left back from Belarus that their club might sign really, really easily. And I think that just the access to that level of detail means that naturally things have no mystery to them, right? And that's part of what glamour is, right? An element of mystery is important throughout it. And I don't know actually if you can really do anything about that. And what you should not do, which is what FIFA want to do, is have some sort of tournament, be it international or the mad sort of new Club World Cup thing every summer. That will really take the mystery out of it. And I think actually you have to look at other form of entertainments and not look at sport, but look at Marvel in particular and how they are running their brand into the ground by just constantly flooding the market with content and no one can keep up with it.
And the stars are kind of like I think there's a kind of malaise about like everyone in Hollywood and everyone in sort of superhero films. Everyone's sexy, but no one's having sex. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, so much football, but it means nothing.
It's like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the most asexual leading man Hollywood's ever had.
Yes, smooth.
Hang on.
A very smooth man.
There's probably nothing down there.
There's
just more
nothing down there, no.
So you want the Marvel films to feature a lot of
I want hardcore
super
penetration.
Shagging. Yes!
I want hardcore. None of your Japanese blurred out stuff. I want hardcore penetrative sex in every Marvel film. Clip this.
Okay.
I will not rest until that happens.
How does the Hulk have sex? Who can the Hulk have sex
exactly.
with?
Exactly.
Yeah. These are the questions we want.
You wouldn't like me when I'm horny.
How is this helping raise children?
Well, you ought to bring children into this.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what Ray's talking about.
Don't bring children into this as a community, raise
our children
Do you not think though, Marcus, that it was always the way, in between international tournaments, it was always like this? I remember like school children, more children. God, there's so many children, being like forced to watch England in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's all you could hear at Wembley, at the old Wembley. So like, I don't think things have massively changed. I think we've got a really engaged, young England team that, that the kids seem to love on your TikToks and that. So I think I think we're living through a generation where they do care about.
I think you're probably right. I think the idea that it's changed massively is probably
nostalgia, isn't it?
I think for some reason, I think youth culture, which you could argue certainly in the West, was basically sort of like came out in the sort of the late 60s, I suppose. And as the generations go by, and now I think people pander. Or at least they think they need to pander like way too much, if you see what I mean. Obviously, you've got to keep everybody in mind. But you see this with FIFA when they sort of, you get these old men saying, oh, well, this is what children want, or this is what young people want, and so on. It's kind of like, well, no, hang on. If you're a child, your attention span is not going to be that of when you're an adult, watching World Cups, watching football matches for 90 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. Those children, they don't stay children forever. And so, yes, I understand that they're growing up with a lot of different media, and as you have described already, but that doesn't mean to say that when they turn 18 or 21 or 25 or whatever it is, they have an inability to sit down and watch 90 minutes of football. I don't think that major tournaments will be impacted by any of this. I think the only people that will ruin major tournaments are the people at FIFA. Expanding the World Cup to 48 teams. Let's see how it goes. I know look, it's going to happen. Hence, I say, let's see how it goes. Yeah. I would have voted against it, but you know, I still don't get a vote, sadly. but with tournament football, I think it will always have the charm that it does because it happens so rarely, and it happens in the summer as well. and it does bring people together in a way. And I think that there is something beautiful about that. And I don't see that would change at all, because no matter how old or how young people are, people like hanging out with their mates. So I don't think it will impact on the tournaments itself, unless FIFA just mess around with it so much that people go, oh, we'll sod this. But I don't think they will. And also, you've got to remember that in a lot of other parts of the world, hence I keep referencing the Western world, a lot of other parts of the world, the World Cup, You remember the Peruvian fans in Russia, you know, in Qatar, the Saudi Arabian fans themselves, or the Moroccan fans as well, you know, what they brought to the tournament, that does add something to it. And I think that that sometimes is intriguing to some people in countries where we are, and it can be inspiring as well. So just because we may think that Western children or whatever you want to, are perhaps, I don't agree with that, but the rest of the world certainly, I would say, don't agree with that either. So I think tournaments are not in danger other than by those who run them.
Video games. We need better international, sorely focused video games about international football. Because every game coming from Japan was always, you had a choice of like 10 teams, and it would always be like, there'd always be like a weird like Great Britain team and stuff. But like it would only be international, it'd be ISS, International Soccer, Superstar Soccer. So there wouldn't be a club game because those licenses were really difficult to get. Yep. So we just need a new generation of cool games like Actua Soccer. We need games like Virtua Striker. We need games like the first few ISS Pros. So it's video games for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to agree with that. I like video games. More video games.
Okay. Unless anybody has anything to say, I think we should move on. So really, Ray, keep plugging away, pal. And I'm sure your children will support England very, very fervently with you at the Euros and at the World Cup.
Kyle in Glasgow has been in touch. He asked this after the chat on the last mailbag about the enshittification of football. He asks, modern football gets a bad press. What is one thing you guys like about it?
One thing to like about modern football, I suppose there are different degrees of this, aren't there? Because modern football extends from, I suppose, the Premier Leagueification of English football.
I think I would say
right the way down to like Dulwich Hamlet, for example.
Yeah, true. But I think 21st century is what you're looking at here.
No, sure. But I suppose there's different ways of answering this question, is what I mean
in terms of.
And I mean the Dulwich Hamlet side in terms of the way that people have moved into that. You know, move into that fan base, as it were, as just like a nice day out rather than like, you know, hardcore fans, stuff like that.
Yeah, you could say that Dulwich Hamlet, though, is people supporting their local clubs again, which is actually a throwback to decades ago.
Like, I know we've spoken about it before, but in terms of like, so for example, there's an aspect of like bougieism within modern football, specifically at someone like Dulwich Hamlet, which I quite like because I don't support Dulwich Hamlet. So I'll go there, watch football, I like football. You know,
love gourmet burgers.
Yeah, have a beer. I like beer. Have some dim sum. I like dim sum.
There you go.
Having a place where I can do all three of those things, brilliant, perfect. Right. I am absolutely of no value to them as a football club beyond what I spend.
Yeah,
which I suppose is quite a modern.
You are
fan
the
way
prawn sandwich brigade that Roy Keane had a go at in the '90s.
Oh no,
way worse than that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
way
yeah
beyond that.
Yeah, no, I'm steamed pork and bao buns.
Okay,
yeah.
The spirit of what he was saying is very much aimed at people like you.
Yeah, to a point, but also like I suppose the broader answer then is there are more places to slot in and feel. Basically, there are more. Places to slot in and have your football experience that you desire. For example, I really like watching football at a pub, but I know part of that is modern football because kickoff times are changed to like Saturday evening 8 p.m., which is a ridiculous time for a game of football. Friday football, a bit of a ridiculous time considering all the travel and the cut down in rest time for the players. But I like going to the pub and watching the football with my mates, and that's like a nice Friday thing that I do. Which I know is probably, if you can consider this the way this question was framed, is probably to the detriment of the soul of the game in some way.
I think one of the things about modern football that I like, we like football and we like lots of football. I mean, I know football's played a little bit too much perhaps, but one of the things is the athleticism of the players and the fitness of the players. It's to be hugely admired. And I mean, like is the kind of the slightly wrong word, but
and it has improved, I think. Hasn't
it? Enormously,
noticeably, like,
the athleticism of footballers and whatnot over the years has improved, and they're always trying to get those marginal gains. Footballers have always been fit, let's be honest, from you know way back to the sort of 60s, 50s, and whatnot. But now, like they're absolute athletes, prime athletes, and that means the quality of the play is higher. And it goes for longer. You know, again, the amount of games these players play. Look at the game. Let's take the biggest example, Lionel Messi. The amount of football that man has played over the years. I understand tournaments are a bit longer now. The Champions League has expanded, you know, or did expand, blah, 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 blah. I get it. But the fact is, that the athleticism of footballers and whatnot in the modern era, they can by and large cope with that. Yes, there is a tipping point, I understand, but within the realms of being sensible about this, that is what I love, because every time you watch certain teams, certain players, you know you're going to get something to just marvel at, and you know, whether or not the game is good, you know, the energy levels, the intensity and all the rest of it is there. And that is something about modern football, which yeah. I think sometimes we don't fully appreciate. You know, it is incredible. And especially with the South American players, they go off to South America, fly around, blah, blah, blah. They're back playing at the weekend, going full pelt. It's incredible.
Yeah. I do feel very blessed to have lived through the time where Lionel Messi has had his whole career and continues to have his whole career as well. Mm. Because, I mean, I remember growing up hearing older people talk about Maradona in that same yes. way. And, you know, they'll never be the like again.
The athleticism.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No,
well, I mean, to a degree.
We are talking about the skill here. Yeah, sure, I'll move that point on slightly. Yeah. But the fact, I think, that he's not someone you would look at in the street and think that's one of the greatest athletes of all time as well. Like, obviously, you know, there isn't, Ronaldo is up there in that argument. They will always be bound together. But Ronaldo is very obviously a show pony.
Absolutely.
Adonis, he's a thoroughbred. Yeah. But Messi's less so. And that's very, very enjoyable. I would say one of the things that I like about modern football is the way that modern footballers are, in a lot of cases, are a bit more switched on, understand the impact they have with the profile and the platform they have, and they use it well. They're a bit more socially aware at a time where that's really, really important. I thought that this England squad, you know, the Henderson situation aside, have been great.
Well, up until recently.
Up until recently, absolutely, yeah. I remember Tyrone Mings calling out Priti Patel on Twitter and essentially telling her not to try and associate herself with the England team. And I love that. I mean, I suppose social media has given players this platform and the opportunity to do it, but I just like that they seem like a likeable group of people.
Mm-hmm. But again, they've got further to fall when they do fall.
In the
World Cup and the armbands and stuff like that. I think I think it's become more Americanized, I suppose, where NFL players feel, you know, more than happy, Kaepernick backwards, I guess, to express themselves on social media about things bigger than the offside
different,
decisions.
Different
stuff like
cultures
that.
And whatnot, but we are seeing that kind of grow in the 20th century. Anything about modern football that you love, Pete?
I just still think
takeovers.
I still think there's a big sort of thread of just stupid stuff, you know what I mean? Like, in the same way that, like, everyone's been talking about the Formula One in Las Vegas recently, and I think this morning or last night or something, like, one of the sewer, what do they call it, sewer caps? What do you call it? Manhole cover. Like, one of the manhole covers just damaged one of the cars because somebody didn't do it properly.
Right.
Didn't sort of, like, let's put some cement down that manhole cover. I think that's how they'd do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's stupid. And that's really, there's just a lack of foresight. And there's still stupid stuff happening with the amount of money sloshing around Formula One. And like, I think when Bayern were winning the Bundesliga last year, I think Cologne were on the attack in one of the matches. And these massive sprinklers just came out of the pitch and started spraying everyone. There's always something stupid like that.
Yeah.
At that FA Cup match with the flag and stuff like that.
Like, you like in modern football that maybe those stupid things are highlighted because it's so glitzy and glamorous.
Because like the fancier product gets, the funnier it is when it gets a bit village. That's what I like. So there's always something stupid happening.
The inability to eliminate some stupid stuff is what you like about modern
football.
Exactly,
because they try and pretend it's this kind of like robotic
a dog on the pitch. How's that happen?
Actually, it makes it funnier, doesn't it? So when my girlfriend and I met, she didn't like football. She actively really, really disliked
it. She liked you, though.
I didn't try to sort of indoctrinate her into football, but it just sort of happened naturally, as obviously this is my job, so we spend a lot of time watching it. I did my best to sort of explain what I loved about it, and a lot of what I love about it actually, and I think this is the whole reason this podcast exists, is that football is really funny. It's really, really funny, and the more serious it is and the more serious it presents itself as, when something stupid happens, which it inevitably does, it makes it all the funnier. And I think you're right, Pete, it's heartening to me that that can't be sterilised.
No,
because
there's still people involved, isn't there?
We can't get rid of the human condition.
No.
one final one from me. The pitches.
Yeah, they're way better.
The pitches make it so much better. Mm. And also, when you see a lovely green pitch, especially on TV, it really pops.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, lovely old job.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Got a message from Tom Bradstreet. Hey Tom. After Vish mentioned the Norwegian third tier side Lyn missing out on promotion by one single goal after winning 10-1, a Ramble listener got in touch who was at the game.
No way.
I was listening to Monday's pod, says Tom, and I couldn't believe my ears when Lyn's 10-1 win against Framlarvik featured among the highlights of the weekend. I'm a Brit living in Oslo and a Lyn season ticket holder, and I was at Saturday's game. It was absolutely fucking mental. Before the nonsense kicked off, we were level on points with Egersund, but behind them on goal difference. Unless they dropped points at home against Vard, we need to make up a difference of 5. At halftime, both matches stood at 3-0, so hopes of automatic promotion had all but gone. Hopes finally extinguished when Fram nicked a goal back after the restart. Or so it seemed. It wasn't until we reached 8-1 that the stadium started to believe. With Egerson now winning 5-0, we needed another 3 to pip them to the post. We made it 9-1 in the 89th minute and 10-1 in the 94th, hitting the woodwork in between. The players are running to the stands to ask fans for updates for the other match. Eventually, we just chanted the score from the stands. Alas, we ended up a solitary goal short. The playoff awaits. You won't need persuading, this game was one hell of an experience. But if proof were needed, get this. Less than 2 weeks ago, I was released from hospital after a fairly desperate medical scare that ended with me being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So I made damn sure to bring my blood sugar monitor with me to the big match. Tell you now, sweets and fizzy pop ain't got nothing on the beautiful game. My glucose level more than doubled.
Wow.
And that was just at half time. Try breathing very, very slowly while your club is quite literally racing to a score a fuck ton of goals as quickly as humanly possible. Possible. Injury time indeed. Cheap insulin out there, though, you'd imagine. Love that show. Love the show. You gave me a good laugh while I was stuck in hospital. So cheers for that. Keep it the brilliant work. Love from the frozen north. Tom, thank you, Tom. That was fantastic.
Blimey.
Great.
Beautifully written email
Blimey.
As well.
What do you think of that, Vish? You were the one that brought this to the Ramble table. And then,
What a commentary we got there.
I know, yeah. Yeah, that is wonderfully chaotic. I love the idea of chanting the score from the other game.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Such a good way of doing it.
How do you organise that to sort of do it? Because there was a chant that went round. I can't remember. I think Leeds might have been involved. There was a Leeds fan with chinos on the opposing stand. And
the Leeds fans were chanting at...
It was a Leeds fan with the trousers.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Ah.
So that was the chinod fan. But like the whole stand started doing... 5 or 6 different chants about
very
chinos.
Creative, yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible how they got to.
You've got to have a ringleader. You've got to have people. But also, as well, how many fans were at this game? Is, you know,
right,
you've
not
got 50,000 strong. So
no,
I think that you'll have a few people updating the score. So if one person just starts going 5-0, 5, you just need 2 or 3, and then it's like, okay, that's what.
But imagine having to deal with like a brand new physical affliction. Like, I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, I know.
My blood sugar's gone mad.
It's like, do you think I just can't be? It's like Danny Glover.
I'm too diabetic for this.
Oh, blimey. Yeah, exactly.
So someone else got in touch about. Another, frankly, extraordinary game recently as a follow-up to this. This is Stephen Hunter. He says, I went to a game between Ballymena United and Coleraine and want to share what happened. One, after a 1-1 draw on extra time, it took 44 penalties to decide it. All 11 men took 2 turns. Two, after about 30 penalties, ex-Newcastle United Academy player Isaac Westendorf seemingly lost count and looked to start a knee slide, thinking his side had won, when in fact they'd pulled a level. Three, the ball was sponsored by meat.
Right.
Just
right.
Generic meat, perhaps?
Yeah, I want to know the meat was like.
Got
was it written on the ball? Was
yeah.
It, yeah, was it coloured like a.
Meatball.
Like a big minced meatball.
So good, isn't it?
Wow.
I've got to say, as far as Isaac Westendorf's concerned, I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because if the referee's a little bit slack, just run off
if
and
he
celebrate.
It blows up, presumably.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's the game. And we've won. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, that is mad. That gets to the point of, you know what? I don't care if my team wins this or not. Just stop.
Mm. Yeah.
Just hurry up.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marcus. If you were going to make a ball out of meat, I would choose a Scotch egg kind of configuration.
But then you'd have like the wobbling around in the middle, and they're not.
Breadcrumb's going to come
off. You're clearly eating fancier Scotch eggs than I am. It's always hard from the garage. It's always a hard egg.
The garage.
You want a black pudding, right? That's going to have the best purchase. Or the best structural integrity.
What, a ball
full of black pudding?
A ball of black pudding.
I mean, is it meat? Because it's blood, isn't it? Does that count as meat?
There's enough meat in there, isn't there?
Yeah, probably.
Marcus, do you want to come in on this?
Yeah, I'm just sort of thinking. I've had
meat round.
Yeah, I think you've covered it.
Yeah,
I think I'd be foolish to add anything to this. Quite frankly, I watched this penalty shootout. I found it
right,
and
the whole thing.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah. It took an awfully long time.
I bet it did.
But I find who is it that said, what is it in penalties? Is it 70-30?
Right.
Or 75-25.
Whoever goes first or second, is that?
No, in terms of scoring to goalkeeper.
Right.
You know, do the 80-20 or 70-30. That's what you're dealing with, I think, in the taker's favour against the goalkeeper. So to have so many scored, that's very high percentage.
Mm. And
it's impressive.
To be fair, a lot of them that were scored weren't exactly rifle top left. They were like... middle of the goal.
Yeah.
A little bit high.
Yeah. But I find it incredible that if...
Keep spending a lot of time on the floor.
But if you're like 8th, 9th, 10th taker, you've obviously probably not practiced them that much. You're not that au fait. Yeah, you just step up and like slot one home. I think it's pretty good. I remember watching, as you, Wolfish, Manchester United versus Villarreal in Europa League, when players were going up and I was thinking, because that was a long penalty shootout. And because it was David De Gea that missed.
Mm.
So it went to the whole team. And some players are going, he's the 8th taker. He stuffed it in the top corner.
Yeah.
How's he not?
They're all professional footballers, aren't they? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, but it's still, though, like, you know, I just sort of think that that's quite impressive. And when somebody misses, when it's, I don't know, so what it gets to sort of, I don't know, 12-11. Or say it's 12 all or something, and then somebody misses, you think, oh, finally. Then the other person misses, you're like, go on, Bennett, we carry on.
Does it taint it that the person who missed the last penalty was the goalkeeper, though?
I wouldn't
say
it
was one of the goalkeepers.
It,
does it taint it? Feels like a tense.
Well, look at, was it Liverpool-Chelsea?
Mm.
When Kelleher, did he
score? Actually, when you go through the whole team, I should know this. I mean, I really should know this. When you go through the whole team, do you have to, and everyone has to take a penalty.
You can't make subs in a penalty shoot.
Well, so once you've done 11, you have to
stick
with the same order that you took the penalty?
Yeah, I believe
so. You have to, because you couldn't like front load.
And you'd want to as well, wouldn't you?
Well, unless you made terrible decisions in the first round.
Well, no, but I mean, if you've picked your five takers and you go all the way back round, you're not going to go, actually, let's have that lot.
because you would front load it ideally with the people who scored, wouldn't you? So that might change it somewhat.
Well, everyone's scored or everyone's missing, because hence you've gone that far.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, that you might front load it with the ones who'd scored.
Managed to do
But I suppose that's an interesting part of it, because if you missed your penalty the first time round, or even if you scored your penalty the first time round, bear in mind how you have to gear yourself up for taking a penalty in a shootout.
Yeah.
And then think, hold on, I've just used my main thing here. Yeah. I've got to choose something else.
Imagine you're a centre half. You've taken your penalty. You've scored it. You're like, brilliant, banked. I've done it.
Yeah.
I can sort of relax in myself.
Yeah.
Still anxious for the team, and then you've got to step up
again. Yeah, yeah.
That's got to be so much harder than the first one.
Well, gentlemen, I think after that mammoth chat about that mammoth penalty shootout, we should end today's mailbag. So thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble mailbag. We'll be back with another one of these in 2 weeks' time. To get in touch, remember, tweet us on X at Football Ramble, message us on Instagram at Football Ramble, and of course, email us at showatfootballramble.com. Join us on Monday, and don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Isn't that right, Vish?
Do it.
Yeah. Would you like to say anything to the good people who are enjoying their weekend right now?
Just keep going. It's tiring and the headache might come, but just plough through it.
Push on through.
Push on through, until the wee hours of Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I'll see you there.
As Liam Gallagher said during COVID, drink through it. Thank
Not
you,
bad
Peter.
Advice. It keeps you indoors, doesn't it?
Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
And thank you, Liam. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.